Fathers, do you understand what this is saying? This research is saying that you have a tremendous amount of influence on the spiritual destiny of your household.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, I'm Joshua Halleck, your host at Straight Talk Radio. On behalf of Pastor Mark and the whole Straight Talk team, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening. We get comments all the time about how people are being blessed through the work here, and it just delights us to know that we're a small part of your spiritual journey. We'd love to hear about it. Have you been blessed by the program? Do you have a story to tell of how God's used a message from the Bible through this program to bless your life? Or maybe you have a question, or there's something that's really bothering you that you'd love to hear Pastor Mark talk about or to have answered. Write to us at info@straighttalkchicago.org. You can send us an email at info@straighttalkchicago.org. Let us know. It means a lot to us. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Straight Talk. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Pastor Mark is continuing his series called Just Do Something tonight, and it's the second half of his message called Just Follow. Our text is found in the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk called Just Follow.
There's a place north of Burgos, Spain, just north of Burgos, Spain. If you'd walk into this place, it's a cemetery that's several hundred years old. It looks like it. It's a cool-looking place, I think, because a lot of old cemetery and mausoleums. And if you keep walking past all the big fancy graves and the mausoleums, you keep walking to the back and go up some stairs, and you keep walking to sort of a simple area and walk in three graves over. There's a simple gravestone there that has a verse on the front in Spanish that says, "Para mí el vivir es Cristo y morir ganancia." For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And that's where my father is buried. When I go to Spain, I almost always try to make a trip to that gravesite with my kids. And we gather around the gravesite and I tell them Grandpa Bob's stories. You know why I do it? Because I want them to know their history. I want them to know that there's a God story here. I want them to know that they have a heritage and that they have a destiny. I want them to know that God has been involved in our story all along. I want them to know that they're a part of a bigger purpose and a greater purpose in life that goes much more beyond just the mundane things of life, but that they have a story that God has been orchestrating. They have a story that God has been telling through people, connecting this way and that way, leading us to Chile, Costa Rica, Spain, other parts of the world in Chicago, and that they continue with that story. I never want them to forget. Listen, you're part of a bigger story. I also tell them about their mother's side, my wife D's side of the family, how both of her grandparents came from Michoacan, Mexico, crossed the border illegally, and made it to this country, had children and settled in, and both sides of the family ended up in Chicago. And my Mary side of the family, her parents were part of a little Pentecostal church, a Spanish Pentecostal church called Smyrna. You know, it has to be Spanish Pentecostal to be called Smyrna, right? It's an unusual name from the Bible, but they were from that church. And she grew up as a little girl knowing the things of God with a strong faith. Her parents loved God and talked to her about the things of God. And her sisters loved God and knew the things of God. And my father-in-law, Dan Marquez, who lived in Back of the Yards neighborhood, and when it wasn't very Hispanic at the time, and there was a kids club right there on 45th and Ashland. When he was 10 years old, he started attending that little kids club on 45th and Ashland. He was the only one out of his family that would attend that kids club. And it was a Bible kids club. And he went and he learned about the things of God. And he integrated and he grew up, and they called it the mission. And they would have Bible stories and reach out and get students from Moody Bible Institute that would come and do games and help the kids learn about Christ. And eventually that little mission became a little church. And the fellow that had started the mission, on his deathbed, he wasn't a pastor or minister. He was just a businessman that opened up, that wanted these kids to have something. And on his deathbed, he was so concerned about this little mission that he said, "The mission, the mission." And one of the kids that he had helped raise up said, "Don't worry about it. We'll take care of the mission." And Dan and Mary, who had just gotten married, they became a part of that mission. And they helped pay the finances. They were involved in cleaning, setting up chairs, and helping out for years in that little mission. They raised their kids there. My wife was raised there in this little, small mission church. And finally, in the 1970s, they got a building over there on 44th and Palina, which is actually a church building. And it's a long story, but that story, miracle after miracle, thing after thing, God's hand after God's hand, that little church that started as a mission in the 1930s to little children, eventually I came to pastor that church and eventually became New Life Community Church. And now New Life Community Church ministers to thousands of people all over the city of Chicago. You see, we all have a story. You say, "Well, pastor, I don't have stories of pastors and missionaries. My story is not that spiritually." No, 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 no. Your story is spiritual. Because whether you knew God or not, whether your family was involved in the things of God, let me tell you this, God has always known you. Well, let me say that again. Whether or not you were very spiritual or not, God has always known you. And God has always known your family. And God has always been involved in the orchestrating of the events of your family and connecting the dots together. And God has answered prayer before your faith was even a faith that was coherent. And God has been involved in steering you and opening doors and putting people together, because God is a sovereign God. That means that God overrules history and overrules the future, because he's a God that is bigger than time and events and orchestrates time and events for his purpose and his glory. Never forget, God has been involved in your story, and let your children know God has been involved in the story of our lives. The second thing that Joshua did is that, and I think that we are called to do, father leaders not only give a sense of our family's history and spiritual destiny, but father leaders also, they call us to make clear spiritual choices in our life. Notice what it says in verse 14. Joshua gets up and says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, worship beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." You see, Joshua's getting up and he's saying, "Hey, I want you to make a clear choice about who you're going to serve." I believe that father leaders, our job is to help call our children and our grandchildren and our extended family. We're placed there to call them to make a clear decision about who they're going to serve. What a great thing it is if you as a father have the opportunity to lead your son or daughter to Christ. I've had the opportunity with my children to pray with them and kneel with them at different ages and just lead them to Jesus, and with a simple faith, and lead them to Christ. What a great thing it is that you can call your family and say, "You know what? You need to choose." Listen, God has no grandchildren, only children. And as much as you would like to make a decision for your kids, they're going to decide on their own. How about it? How many of you parents wish you could choose for them, but it just doesn't work that way? You can't make your kids follow God. You can't force them to follow God. You can't. We wish we could. We wish we could write their story, and we wish we could make choices for them. But it's not our choice to make. It's their choice. They're going to make their choices. They're going to make their decisions. But I believe what father leaders can do is you can call them to make a choice. You can say, this is what I have chosen, and this is the best choice for your life. This is what I'm praying for you. I encourage you to go in this direction. I encourage you to follow the ways of God. You can challenge them. You can encourage them. You can ask them, make a choice. And when you make it strong. That's what Joshua is doing. By the way, can I remind you about this? A lot of times I believe that men leave this up to the wives, to the women. And I just have, I want to remind you that out of the 94 million men in America, that 68 million of them do not attend any church. Hold on, wait a second. Out of the 94 million men in America, 64 million out of the 94 million, that's somewhere around 70-some percent, do not attend any church. So 70-some percent of American men do not attend any church on a regular basis. I want to say to the men that are here this morning, hey, kudos to you that you're in the house of God on Father's Day. Yes. Yes. You are the minority. You are in the elite class of the minorities that felt it was important enough that you be in the house of God on a day like today. And I'm so happy that you are here. And I never want you to underestimate your influence, because here's what we read from researcher. Research has revealed to us that, listen, this is the way it works. Research has revealed to us that if a child is the first person in a household to become a Christian, then there's about 3.5% chance, probability, that everyone else in the household will become a Christian. That's pretty low. In other words, if it's a child that comes to Christ first, then chances are only 3.5% of those households, everybody becomes a Christian. It's a pretty low impact on the household. If the mother is the first to accept Christ, the percentage goes up to about 17%, 1-7. 17% of the homes will see the remainder of their members trust in Christ if the mother is the first to accept Christ. Hold on, men. Listen to this. Fathers, hear it. If the father is one of the first people to come to Christ in the household, there is a 93% probability that everyone else in that household will follow. 93% probability that everyone in that household will also follow that spiritual line and direction. Do you understand that, men? Fathers, do you understand what this is saying? This research is saying that you have a tremendous amount of influence on the spiritual destiny of your household.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Just Follow. It's from Pastor Mark's brand new series called Just Do Something. Stay tuned, and I'll tell you how you can get a free copy of tonight's message, as well as information about Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. He's in the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Just Follow.
Never underestimate it. Never underestimate it. I run into men that sometimes look at themselves and say, well, you know, I don't know as much Bible as my wife does, or I'm not as spiritual as she is. And they sort of undercut their spiritual influence. They undermine what they know and their influence that they have. And I want you to say, hey, never underestimate the influence that you have on your household and that you have on your family. And Joshua is challenging the rest of the family to make clear decisions. Number three, if you're taking notes, They take responsibility for their household and they lead from their personal commitment. Notice what it says in verse 15. In verse 15 it says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." I love what Joshua says. Joshua gives a challenge to all the people of Israel, and then he makes it clear. He says, "I just want you to understand where I'm at." He says, "I want you to know that whatever you decide, me and my household, we're going to follow God." Let me tell you what that means. Hey, fathers, you have kids and grandkids. Some of you, they keep coming back to your house. You said goodbye to them, they went off to college, and now you got another kid and a grandkid and three kids, and they keep coming back to mom and dad's house, right? Some of you like, "Hey, I thought they were out, they're back." Regardless of what stage you are at in life, let me tell you, listen, this is your household. There's a point in time where you need to say, as the father of this household, me and my house, we're going to follow God. Now, they choose on their own whether they want to follow God, but hear me well, men, fathers. If this is your house, then it needs to be your household, and you can declare, me and my household, we're going to follow the ways of God. That means as long as you live under the roof of my house, there's certain rules in this house that everybody's going to follow. Whether you like those rules or not because they're rules that necessarily you always want to follow, but because these are the rules of this household, and me and my household will follow God, and I'm going to try to do this a godly way. And so if you don't want any partying and you don't want any beer bashing parties at your house and any snorting lines of cocaine in the basement, and if you don't want any X-rated movies played on your television, and if you want people home at a decent time, that is your household. This is your household. And you can say, as for me and my household, these are the rules of my household. Now, if someone protests and says, "I don't like those rules, and those rules are crazy and dumb," they always have the option of starting their own household. When my son or daughter, 15, don't like the rules, they say, "Well, I don't think that's a good rule." I say, "When you have your own household, you make the rules. But for now, this is my household. And I set the rules for my household. You can set whatever rules. If you want to set rules when you have your own household and you want to let your teenage son or daughter stay out till 4 a.m, hey, that's up to you. That'll be your rules, not my rules. My rules, this is my household. I'm thinking by the time they're my age in their household, their rules are going to look a lot like my rules look right now." But I run into some fathers, hey, don't be intimidated. It doesn't mean that everybody in your household is going to follow God, but it means that everybody knows that this is a Christian household and that you have certain standards and certain boundaries and certain things that you want in your house and certain things that you don't want in your house. And as long as you live under this roof, you respect the things that we want in this household. You respect the environment that we're trying to create in this household, because as for me and my house, we will follow God. Whether you like it or not, we're going to follow God. Now, our wish is that everybody in the family follows God, but everybody has to go their own journey. Some of your children will be prodigals for 10, 15 years, and many of them will come back to God in their time. But as for you and your household, you will follow the Lord, and don't be intimidated by that. Amen. And lastly, but not least, father leaders, they keep their children on course through important reminders. You see, they said, no, we want to follow God. And Joshua said, but it's hard. And some of you are going to mess up. And you can't say you want to follow God and then not follow him and serve after other gods, because it's going to come back to bite you. He says, here's what I want you to do. We're going to set up, look what it says. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he drew up the decrees and laws, and Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law. Then he took a large stone and he set it up there under the oak near the holy place of the Lord. What was the large stone for? The large stone was a reminder of the vows and commitments that they had made. Because how many of you know, sometimes we make commitments, but then we forget, or life gets messy, it gets confusing, and we walk away from our commitments. And sometimes we need big reminders. We need people to come back and say, remember the commitment that you made. I have a ring on my finger that I wear all the time, all the time. You know what it is? It's a reminder. Actually, I hate to say it, but it's not the original ring. I lost the first one, much to my wife's dismay. Never get in the habit of spinning your ring on a table, because sometimes it falls off and you can never find it. So don't do that, guys. Do not do that. But nonetheless, I got a ring, and I wear it all the time. It's a little beat up. Because why? Because this is a reminder of the covenant I made to my wife 23 years ago. I made a commitment to her 23 years ago for good times and in bad times, whatever it takes, I'm going to stay with you. And it's a reminder. Listen, some of you have made commitments, and Joshua rolled a big stone. And the big stone was a reminder, because sometimes we need big reminders of the big commitments that we've made. And when you make a commitment to God, some of you fathers need to be the ones reminding your children of the commitments that they made, because life is confusing. Some of your children make a commitment and they got baptized and they make a commitment to follow Christ, but then life gets confusing and messy, and people get confused about their spiritual life and get disoriented or get angry or fall away or their heart gets cold. But I think it's the parents' subtle, loving responsibility to say, hey, you made a commitment, and I believe you have a destiny, and I believe you have a call, and I'm not going to give up on that. I'm going to pray it through. I'm going to believe God to bring you back to the destiny and place that one day I know you're called. There's a reminder. And as a father leader, you remind your sons and daughters of their commitment. You remind your daughters and sons about their commitment of purity until marriage. You remind them about their fidelity once they're married. You remind them about their covenant to God once they've started in their walk with God. You remind them about their purpose and their destiny. Why? Because as a father leader, you're pointing them to key decisions in their life, and you're reminding them of those big decisions. Let it not forget. It may have become dusty, but the decisions that were made long ago and the seeds that were planted have a power and effect over people's destiny. And as father leaders, that's part of our challenge and our call to do. Joshua stood before his children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren, this great multitude, and he reminded them as a father leader of their destiny, of their call. And then shortly after, he passed away. Men, fathers, you have a call. You have an influence. My challenge to you on Father's Day is not to beat you up, but to encourage you. Sometimes we affirm and encourage mothers with roses and flowers, and then we beat fathers up on Father's Day. I don't know what the, you know, how it works that way, what the rationale. Have you ever noticed that? You know, my mother, she was so good and encouraging. Father's like, he wasn't dad. It was, you know, it's like, beat dads up on Father. I don't want to beat you up. I want to challenge you. I want to affirm you. Listen to me, fathers, look up at me. I'm about to wrap it up. You have all that it takes. Listen, fathers, look at me. You have all that it takes to be an awesome father. You have all that it takes to influence the destiny of your children and grandchildren. You are the man that God has placed to be the biological or the stepfather. You are the man that God has placed at this time, at this moment. God has not made a mistake. God has not switched the wrong father at the wrong point in time, you have the ability, you have the spiritual insight and stamina, if you call upon God, to be exactly what your kids need, exactly what your grandchildren need, you to be the man exactly that has been called to lead your family. You already have it. With the grace and the power of God. So step into it, not shyly, but step into it and say, here I am, God. I don't always feel adequate, Father. But by your power and might, here I am, stepping into the role that you have called me to. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed tonight's edition of Straight Talk and our current message called Just Follow. Pastor Mark's current series, Just Do Something, continues on tomorrow's Straight Talk with a brand new message called Just Own It. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for us on the Straight Talk team tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Pastor Mark will be back tomorrow night with his continuation of his current series called Just Do Something with a brand new message called Just Own It. Have a great night, and God bless.